Blog Talk Radio.
Time is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast, and you're tuned into TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. Happy Saturday to each and every one of you, and thank you for tuning in. I almost didn't make it on air. Let me go to the board. I run back into the house and make sure everything was okay. So, hey, thank you for tuning in. Let me open up the chat room, too, by the way. Just got some things in order, so I'm going to open up the chat room real quick because I know some people do tune in to that location instead of calling in. And sometimes they'll call in later on in the show, so I appreciate that. So, again, welcome, and we have some great topics we're going to talk about for the day. It's been week one of the Hush Money trial. With former President Donald Trump. Yes, former president. You know, they keep addressing him as president. I don't think we have two presidents, but, you know, if you want to say Mr. President, you know, that's interesting to me. Week one, hush money trial. Interesting because, you know, they have cameras outside the courtroom. They have cameras not inside the courtroom, but they have cameras in the entranceway. Every day, the former president always speaks to his fan base, always speaks to the MAGA group, going into the courtroom, basically, and coming out. This is unprecedented. This is true. But this is just one trial. This is just one. So, you know, as we watch this unfold, of paying off a porn star, you know, you kind of wonder what's going to happen with the Supreme Court, which we're going to get into, as far as they feel like a president, or at least his attorney, feel like a president should be immune of crimes. Just flat out, immune from crimes. And now the Supreme Court has to make that decision. Now, this is crazy due to the fact that where Donald Trump had appointed, I believe, two of them to the highest court in the land. And this is a job that they will have for the rest of their lives. They don't have to retire unless they choose to. They can't be fired. This is crazy. This is really crazy. So I'm kind of wondering what you guys think about it. Also, we're going to get into the situation with Arizona. Yeah, Arizona, you know, that's that state that, you know, didn't want to acknowledge the Martin Luther King birthday or the holiday for Martin Luther King. You know, they held back on that, right? And now they're going to, you know, go ahead and insert, for lack of a better term, a law as far as the abortion thing. So we're going to get into that, but before we talk about these topics, I have to bring in one of the co-hosts here. Time and Chip is not going to be able to make it because he's attending a great jazz concert. Stanley Carr, man, one of my favorite musicians. So without further ado, let me open up the mic to Miss Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis. Hey, Janet, how you doing? Happy Saturday to you. Janet, you there? I'll open up the mic. Are you on mute?
I'm mute. I said, hey.
There you go. Yeah, I can figure that. Yeah, I figured you had yourself on mute.
I'm just running my mouth. Yeah, Tom's not going to be there here tonight. Jazz concert, huh?
Yeah, he's at the jazz festival featuring Stanley Clark, one of the most prolific, amazing musicians on the planet, you know. So, he's not going to be able to make it. He did tell me, and I forgot that, he did tell me that event was coming up. So I forgot about that. That's my fault. But anyway, how you doing? Happy Saturday. And you ready to get into these conversations or these topics?
Yes, I am. I guess about as ready as you are, Mike. There's been a lot of crazy stuff going on this week with
the Supreme Court.
Well,
let's get into the first week. Let's get into the first week of the trial. It's been, 8 days, I think. It was an issue as far as picking out a jury. The defense attorneys are not happy with the situation. But, you know, you have to do what you got to do. You know, they wanted to move it, but the judge said no. So what's your thoughts as far as the first week of the trial? And we'll get into the testimonies of certain individuals.
Yeah. The Trump lawyers and Trump, they were trying all kinds of reasons to, move the date. And it wasn't working for the judge, you know. They were trying some of everything to change the date. But the judge said no. Even a person burns himself up outside, that didn't stop the trial from the jury selection. The judge is not playing. And I don't think it's because he's for the Republicans or, you know, for a Democrat or, you know, I don't think he's picking any sides. He's just going by the law. So. Do you want to read that? Want me to read that article, Michael?
Please do.
Okay, hold on. I got to unlock my phone. Sorry about that.
No problem. My phone instantly locked after a certain
moment. I think I need to change my phone so that after 10 minutes maybe, then lock. I think every minute, I think my phone just locks on me. Okay.
Yeah, I think mine does the same thing. Okay. Yeah, you can adjust it.
Right.
All right. Oh, yeah. And while you pull that up, I have to say this. While you pull that up, I just want to say this. For you folks who tuned in last Saturday, a great conversation with our guest, Ms. Georgie Ingram-Renz, concert promoter based here in the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you guys for calling in and tuning in. Great conversation, and I have to say this, that she's never done an interview, but we are so honored that she did come on the TMGS and share her knowledge and her experience. So, you know, kudos to her. Thank God that she's just, you know, keep doing what she's doing. And you guys keep your eyes and ears open for great concerts that might be coming in your area. I'm going to share a little bit of that information later on the show, what's probably coming in your area from Lady Joe Entertainment. So did you find what you were going to open up?
Well, yeah, but first of all, you were talking, well, we're talking about two different things. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, so you want to talk about the Trump immunity, Supreme Court, or the one about David Pecker?
No, no, the immunity is what I was looking
okay,
at.
Okay, the immunity.
Is the immunity. All right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Trump immunity fight.
I initially said what was going on this week. You know, there's so many things going on. There's different trials. There's one that's going on now. There's other ones that are coming up. We already know that they're trying to hold off many of the and change the dates on those trials. This one that's happening right now in Manhattan, they couldn't hold that off. They couldn't make the judge, you know, push it off, because you know why they want to do it. They want to wait until after the election. We all know this. They want the elections to go through before anything happens, right? That was their plan. But fortunately,
yeah,
the judge is saying no. Yeah, so the judge is saying no, no, it's got to move forward regardless. Because as many people know, judges do have, you know, schedules on other cases, and they
right.
have to follow through, right? So it doesn't matter if you're the former president of the United States. The judge says, or he sees fit of saying, no, this is what my schedule looks like. I'm going to book your case right here and right now. You know, Donald Trump thinks he has control of everything, but he really doesn't. You know, and people forget. That's what get me. People forget that where you got so many backlog cases throughout the United States. And you know this, Janet, you know. There are folks who are saying, you know, there are people who've been in jail for a long, long time because backlog. So what makes Donald Trump any different if the judge says, okay, we're ready to set on this date, and then your lawyers say, well, no, we're not. We know why you're not, because you wanted to get beyond the election. That's your whole plan.
Right.
So that he could pardon himself even if he's found guilty.
Right. And Trump actually thought that by him going against the gag order and things like that, that it was going to slow things up. And they really was trying to change the date, but the judge wouldn't let them change it. And I thought that was a good thing for him to go on and continue on with the trial, because they had just finished up getting all the jurors and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
right.
This was a hot and heavy week. They started out with David Pecker, you know, which I thought that's what we were going to actually talk about, because they did some seedy stuff. So I really want to talk about that, the David Pecker. That's okay.
Okay,
with you.
We have time. But first, I want to touch on a few comical moments.
Okay.
The comical thing, you know, and of course, you know, we have 2 hours. The comical thing is that what I read that the former president was upset because, and he claimed that his supporters were not able to come to the courthouse. They were being blocked by his supporters were not able to come to the courthouse, come inside the courthouse. According to a reporter through a certain television network, said that no, if you get there early enough, you can possibly get into the courtroom. They're not blocking people from coming to the courthouse at all. And then there is, if you want to protest, there is a location they can stand, you know, and protest. But you can come in early in the morning. You know, you might have to get there 4 o'clock in the morning to get to jockey up to get inside to actually listen to what's going on. And then another thing that I found funny, you know, this former president has always had a nickname for people that he didn't like. And one was for the present president, Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
He calls him Sleepy Joe. But now I'm gonna start calling him Dee Dee. I'm gonna call Trump Dee Dee. You know why? Because right now I'm gonna call him Dee Dee. Because he's dozing down now. He's dozing off in the courtroom, according to many individuals. He's falling asleep. And he's complaining about how cold it is in the courtroom. Well, damn it, bring yourself a jacket tomorrow or next week. I mean, he's picking out little things to complain about. And it's like, really, dude? You want to talk about how cold it is in the courtroom?
Oh, it's too cold?
You haven't heard him say that? Yeah, he says, it's freezing in there. People are freezing in that courtroom. People are freezing in that courtroom. No, maybe you feel like it is. But, I mean, what else you got? Anything to make people feel like he's being abused. I'm freezing in there. People are freezing in there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on, man.
So
I found those things comical because here you have Sleepy Joe, and now you're dozing Don. Because true enough, you know that the proceedings cannot be broadcast, but we do see the pictures, and I see you sitting there with your eyes closed. You're not blinking. And they say that many times he has actually dozed off in the courtroom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the ones that are in the courtroom looking at, listening to the what's going on said that he's been dozing just about throughout the trial.
That's what I said. Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move forward to what you wanted to talk about. Mr. Pecker, okay. So Mr. Pecker is he oversaw the inquiry, right? Go ahead and share a little bit, or go ahead and share Mr. Pecker's testimony because it was kind of interesting. I thought of what he said was probably damning to the former president, but the former president says it was, you know, it was great testimony.
Well, he said it was great because David Pecker kept saying how that was his friend and how much he liked Trump. And so that's what was so great about the whole ordeal. David Pecker's testimony at the Trump trial revealed seedy underbelly of the tabloid journalism. The former National Enquirer publisher's secret agreement with Donald Trump is shocking, even by the sensational. Sorry, Mike. It just jumped on me. This is crazy. I got to go back to it.
Mm-hmm.
I never. Stitcher has not been on in ages. Why Stitcher came on, I don't know. So I'm sorry. I had to open this back up. This is not my day.
Okay.
Give me a second.
Okay.
Open. All right. So David Pecker.
We'll
okay. Washington former National Enquirer David Pecker's testimony in Donald Trump hush money trial this week revealed the underhanded tactics his publication used to defend the former president, flagrantly violating not only mainstream journalism ethic rules, but even the more lurid standards typical of tabloids like his.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it jumping? Oh, my gosh. Hold on. This is not my day. This thing jumped again.
Okay.
In the testimony this week, sir, during the Trump trial in New York City, a former CEO of the National Enquirer, former parent company, explained stunning details how he agreed to act as eyes and ears for Trump's campaign, purchasing the rights to stories to order to suppress them, and even outright fabricating negative stories about Trump's opponents. I wanted to protect my company. I wanted to protect myself. And I also wanted to protect Donald Trump, Pecker said, about why he released the false public statement about the publication's catch and kill agreement to purchase the busy Karen McDougal story about her alleged month-long affair with Trump.
Hmm.
I got to go to next.
Now, quickly, just pause for a second, because I thought I read an article where it was longer than a month, but okay, that's interesting. I'll take a look at that.
That was McDougal. It might be, Stormy Daniels might be longer. Paying for the story, fabricating stories, breaking secret deals, and support political campaigns are all flagrant violations of basic journalism tenets, codified in many news outlets, internal ethics, policies, and society of professional journalism. Some of the Enquirer's tactics were already known, but they mainly came through reporting from anonymous sources, including one of the former National Enquirer editors who is now covering the trial for another publication. So it is stunning to hear the tabloid's former boss explain matter-of-factly how he struck a deal with former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen to work with the campaign during the 2015 meeting at Trump Tower.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, let me ask you a question real quick before you finish out, though. Have you ever bought a National Enquirer magazine ever? Or tabloid,
Yes, I did buy a couple. And then why I bought a couple? Mm-hmm. Because they were talking about Hillary Clinton, and they made it look like she was going to die any day now, you know, because they were taking pictures of her stumbling, staggering, you know. And so, I did buy it.
So let me finish here. Okay, so you did buy some, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying that we're, you know, but the thing is that we see that that's not true, and that didn't happen, right? So when you put a person like Pecker on there, and we know that these magazines, they're, you know, satire a lot involved, right, in their stories. There's a lot of untruths in these magazines.
Well, they take a little bit of truth and stretch it.
Well, that's true, too. But let me say this. So, but Pecker goes on the stand, and he admits that he bought these stories. He bought Dougal's story and everything to keep her from, you know, actually, he owns it. He basically owns the stories now. And he promised that he was going to put them out there. So he lied to her, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he bought it out. He owns it. That's like anything. If I buy it, now I own it, and I can do whatever the hell I want to do with it. And the thing is that, like you said he was doing that to protect his friend. Even, he said, he still looked at him, even though they hadn't talked in years, as his friend.
Yeah.
Correct?
Well, you know, right. The story about Cruz, father, killing JFK, all these stories that came out in 2015 and 16 was about, you know, it was really lies. You know, he did what's the black guy that worked for him, the doctor? He said he had a tumor. The one that was over the HUD.
You know what? He's so far down in the mud, I can't even remember his name, but I see his face. He's so deep in the mud. Okay,
during the time they were campaigning, so they had all kinds of crap came out about him, you know, having a brain tumor, and you know, so I mean, they just had a bunch of lies coming out there, and David Pecker, it was, you know, he throughout the years, he, you know, did the catch and kill, whatever, you know, they whatever story they wanted to get rid of, or they would, they made sure that this is my medicine. They made
It's crazy that the fact that you said, what's the name of the doctor? And he's a very well-respected, or at least he was at one point, because he did some great things in the medical field. And you know what? Mama, because we haven't heard nothing about him in a long time.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Why would you have him over HUD instead of, you know, I would have thought that Trump would have said, well, you know what, you did this, did that, you're a great American, I'm going to put you over, you know, as far as, you know, as far as health goes, right? The attorney general, as far as, you know, the health care. But he didn't do that. You put him over HUD.
Well, it was just like the boss. They put her over education. She didn't know anything about education. All she knew was to try and privatize it, and she tried her best.
True.
It didn't work, but she tried to privatize regular public education. No. Mm-hmm. What's that?
That's interesting. Okay.
I don't know why I couldn't remember the guy's name, but Michael, I got to apologize. I just let you know. I had a procedure done where they gave me a massive doses of steroids. And when they give you the steroids, it ends up messing your sugar and your diabetes, and it messes up the blood pressure. It, you know, makes it extremely high, and you get where you can't think straight and stuff. So I'm kind of still recuperating a little bit from that.
Absolutely.
No excuses, no pun intended, but yeah, this is, yesterday, last night was the first time in over a week that I finally felt like me again. Yeah.
Okay, great.
It's been unreal. Yeah. Well, I had to have the procedure done because I could barely walk, so I had no choice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I understand that, I'm glad to hear that.
Well, that's why I can't think of the guy's name. Ben Carson.
No problem. I can't think.
I got
Ben Carson.
Ben Carson.
Because I was like, because you know what I do, you know, and people say that's crazy. Said, but Mike, you know, I said try. I go through the alphabets in my head.
Mm-hmm.
You follow what I'm saying? I go A, B, C, Ben, or C, Carson. And it might pop up in my head because I see a vision of his face and what name it. I do that, okay? Even with folks that I run into, you know, at work, and I'm like, what is their name again? Because I don't want to embarrass myself. And I just let the ABCs go through my head, and as I'm looking at them, I'm like, yeah, C. Their last name starts with a C. Now, if you're listening, I know it sounds crazy, but trust me, it works for me. So, but right, Ben Carson. Yeah, why would you put Ben Carson in a field that he has no experience in and not the field that he is known for?
Right.
I think we know the answer. Because you don't want this guy to build on.
Right.
Well, let me finish. You don't want this man to build on his knowledge of what he knows. It's just like even jobs. There's jobs that they don't put you in the department that you know the best. They rather put you in a department you don't know. And if they ever need you over in that other area, then they'll call you. That's exactly the type of thing that was happening, in my opinion, now.
Mm-hmm.
With with the Trump administration. So Can I say one thing?
That's why we can't let people know what we know, because then they can't get one up on you. If they don't know that you know how to do certain things, they'll stick you over there. So got to be quiet, because the more you toot your horn, the more they take more away.
I understand what you're saying, but let me say this, though. But look at the individuals who feel like, and think about this now, that, hey, you know what, I want to go, you know, further along. I want to, more money. Some people think that, well, if I share my talents, what they don't know, it might move me up the ladder.
That happens.
And so, you know,
but
I mean,
it don't always work that way.
Well,
I'm serious, Michael. I work in management. It don't always work that way. A lot of times you think it's going to work that way. It's not. Whenever I try to get out of my area and go to do something else, all I hear was, it's going to be such a great loss. Oh, my gosh. You know,
I agree with you. No, I agree with you. And I agree with you that it may not be the best decision, but sometimes, okay, it's just, you know, what you just said is true. Don't always share what you know, because it could be a negative. But there are people, and like you just said yourself, and I've done the same thing. You felt like, well, let me finish saying this. You felt like, well, you know what? I got to this point. Let me go ahead and try to step up and say that, hey, look, I can do this and do that. So then your superiors, for lack of a better word, that mean the higher ups, are like, oh, Janet, you know how to do that? Yes, I do. I know how to do that. Oh, great. But then you got screwed in the end, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Just like my
and another thing they say,
you're thinking by sharing your knowledge, it's going to get you up the ladder, but actually it didn't. See what I mean? So by you saying that and sharing that, you know, a lot of people are afraid to speak out and say that, hey, you know what, I know this, but they might just use me. And that's what they did to you, and that's what some companies have done to me.
No, I got up the ladder, but when I wanted to just rotate and go somewhere else, they didn't want, they pigeonholed me because they wanted me to stay in one spot. I did get up to go up the ladder as far as I could go. That's why I wanted to get out of that area, because I couldn't go any further. Yeah. But they also say the wheel that squeaks the ladder gets oiled first. And a lot of people squeal, and those are the main ones that don't really know how to do the job. But because they're hollering, they take care of them, you know. And because you're not saying anything, so it's like a two-edged sword, you know. If you don't say anything, they pass you over, because they say, oh, we thought you were okay with, you know. I mean, it's like you couldn't win. You can't win. And that's true.
Interesting. I mean, you're on point on that. Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said, have you heard the term, the wheel that squeaks the loudest get oil first, or something like that?
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So back to week one, and then we're going to move forward into the next topic. So do you feel like, because as I said, do you feel like this, what Pickard, his testimony, which he was on for, I think, 3 days, did it help or hurt either side, prosecution or defense?
I think it helped the prosecution, because everything that Cohen had said about the catch and kill, and, you know, David Pecker said it was true. He did, you know. So it wasn't like he was telling a lie, you know. And he said why it was to keep from messing with the election. Trump was trying to, some people, I don't know who said it was he was trying to protect his wife because he had had an affair or something. I don't think Trump gave, I don't even think he cared about the affair part. He was just trying to not let anybody know what he had, what had happened. And I know when he was on that bus talking about how he grabbed women, and next thing I know, they had all these women in the front row saying that they had affairs with Clinton. That, you know, and how he walked all behind her like a vulture whenever she had to speak. I would have put my hand back. I'm sorry, I didn't know you were there. I would have slapped the crap out of him.
Oh, Lord.
I would have gave him a backhand slap. Because you remember how he kept up on her, behind her? You know, that was very uncomfortable. He did it on purpose. He did that on purpose. Yeah. He would have been surprised if he had a slap inside his head.
Okay, so... before we change gears, because we're talking about Pecker's testimony, I thought was really interesting. And, you know, in my opinion, like I said, this is not the most important case. I'm sorry,
no,
this is not the most important case. This one is just, just let me finish what I'm saying. Hold on, let me finish what I'm saying. This is just an appetizer of what's coming up next, because the thing is that where, you know, this one here, you know, I think that whatever they decide to do, you know, as far as the outcome, it's not where it's going to put him in jail. I think the federal stuff is are the ones. And again, as I said, you know, they're looking at trying to hold those cases off until after the election. Now, we're going to get into that, of what importance does that have going down the road. This one here is supposed to last for about 3 weeks, they say, they estimate, for about 3 weeks. This is not a case where, you know, you're going to put him in jail. Now, if he keeps, you know, going against the gag order, the judge can't order him, you know, as contempt of court, you know. And it seems like he really wants to do that, to test the judge, because you know what? If the judge does put him behind bars, it's not for no months or years. It's a few days and everything. But that's just to rattle his base. Don't you agree, you know, that
I think the judge is not going to fall for putting him in jail, because that will just rile up his base.
Why
give him something
right.
he's asking for? You know, so the judge is not, if he does anything, it's going to be after the hearing, the trial, then he'll attack the part of the gag order. And, you know, I think that's when he'll do something, not until then.
Okay, so you're saying that, okay, I get you. So you're saying that we're, right, the judge is not going to respond to that until towards the end of the trial and this and the other, and then tack that on as added punishment, right?
Yeah. I just truly believe he didn't fall for any of the antics of running, you know, trying to act like, you know, doing things to cause them to react and put him in, you know, in jail. Well, they're not going to put him in jail anyway. But why fine him? It's not doing any good. You know, you fine him $1,000, you fine him $10,000. It's just like a nickels and dimes as far as he's concerned. So it really don't matter. He wants somebody to respond negatively so that his he wants to rile his face up. And every time he comes out, he says, and send me some, he wants them to send him more money. You bleeding the people dry.
Okay, but Jenna, you know what? Now that's where I disagree, because if he goes against a court ruling, just like you or me, if we were in court, we're just everyday people, right? This is the former president. You can't, I mean, you and me cannot sit up there. If a judge says to you or me, hey, you can't speak on this. You can't talk about it. You can't talk to the news, the media and everything. And the minute we do it, you know we are in trouble.
Right. But he's doing it because he wants to be in trouble.
Janet, let me finish, please. And I'm going to let you go ahead. The thing is that this former president has been doing this, and I've watched, I'm sure you've watched, where it's like, wait a minute, he's throwing in people's names, but the judge said, you cannot talk about this, you cannot talk about that. I see his social media page, what he posts out there. But I think, like you said, the judge is like, well, you know what, I'm going to wait, because if I actually call him in contempt right now, it's going to slow down the trial, right? If you say, Mr. Trump, you're in contempt of court, I'm going to give you 3 days in jail. Let's keep in mind that the judge can how much time. But no, and like you said, I think the judge is like, okay, I'm going to let him, you know, slide on this, slide on that. But if
but
you
he's
come
not
back
really
behind,
sliding. Yeah, he's not really sliding. The judge is still going to tack that on. It's not that he's like he just prolonged.
I wouldn't put him in jail. I would say, hey, look, you know what? You're in contempt. You went against the gag order. You have to pay the court this amount of money. See, the bottom line to me is that where the one thing that this former president loves and hates to spend is money.
Is money.
That's what
yeah.
I just said.
Yeah.
He loves and hates to spend his money. You know, if you look at the history, you really look at it, you know, a lot of people didn't get paid. We talked about that before when they were building those casinos. A lot of contractors didn't get paid, not just the contractors, but the workers didn't get paid.
And a lot of lawyers, even now, I mean, they want money up front.
I'm pretty sure a lot of the past lawyers who stepped away are probably, and it probably is in the background saying, hey, dude owes me still. He ain't paid me yet for my representation.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the whole thing. I'm just trying to, you know, when I think about it, I'm no lawyer, I'm no judge, but I have common sense of how, you know, the system works because I know lawyers and judges. And I'm like, wait a minute. If
now
I don't pay
I
my lawyer, you think you're going to represent me? But go ahead, yeah.
Once again, like I said, so I know he's going to do something to Trump for going against the gag order. He's just not falling into his game. Trump wants him to do something, you know. I mean, this guy has talked about the judge's daughter. He, you know, I mean, every time he looks around, he's got something he's talking about, and he knows he's not supposed to. Just like the last gag order, he said, well, I just cut and paste. I didn't know I was doing something wrong. You knew you were doing something wrong. You're talking about you just cut and paste and post it. But you didn't know it was wrong. We're not dealing with a toddler. This is a grown man. If they say you cannot say something bad, why would you cut and paste something and put it on your site that is causing you to be in trouble? That didn't make sense to me. So I know that's why the judge is doing what he's doing. Plus, on top of that, his MAGA crowd, you know, why stir that pot up? So every day that Trump comes out, he's looking for him. You don't see hardly anybody out there. You know? Maybe they're at home trying to watch it on TV. I don't know. But they're not outside. So that's all I had to say. That's my comment.
Okay. So now I'm going to speak again. And what you said is true. It is interesting to me, and I mean, for anyone who's listening, it's interesting to me that, again, I'll say this is unprecedented, never happened before, but it's a continued story that where, you know, it's delay. We know that. And we know that there was a crime committed. There's no way in the world you can say there was no crime committed when even your own party has testified, or individuals who work for you has testified against you. You can't say it's not, you know, real, right?
Right.
Hold on a minute. I step outside for a moment. I'm going to go back indoors so I don't have the ice cream man coming down the street. Ice cream man is coming down the street. Like Eddie Murphy, man, like Eddie Murphy said, ice cream man is coming. But I have to walk away from him and go back indoors so that we don't have that jingle going. But again, as I was saying, it's unprecedented, you know, in this situation with a president being indicted, a president of various crimes. And I get the fact they're trying to delay all the cases because here comes an election. Again, I'll say this. If he were to win, and to be honest, in my personal opinion, I really don't think that Donald Trump will win the presidency in 2024. I really don't. And here's why. Because, you know, just like some white folks say I have black friends, I have friends who are Republicans. And we talk and we discuss things. And they're very adamant about, some of them, about Donald Trump. But let's look at the Republican Party as a whole. I don't think that everybody that's a Republican is supporting Donald Trump. In fact, I know that. They believe in the Republican Party, you know, of what the party is supposed to be about and their, you know, beliefs and what America should be about, right? But I talked to a person and said, hey, you know what? I wish there was another choice other than Donald Trump. And they said they may or they may not vote for him. They want the Republican ideology of what America should be to be in place, but can they trust Donald Trump to do so? I'm just telling you a fact in conversations. See, the party could have went ahead and said, you know what, we gotta support somebody else. Oh, you could have supported Nikki Haley, but no, because you don't want a woman as president, not with all these powerful white men in Washington.
Nikki Haley was brown.
You already had what you said would never happen is a black man as president. Not just one term, but two terms. How in the world are you going to allow a woman to be president of the United States? Hillary Clinton didn't make it. Nikki Haley didn't make it. But like you said to me earlier, you have individuals that have big money, and they buy off stuff. Let me throw a name in a hat. Bernie Marcus. Yeah. One of the guys who started Home Depot. He supports Donald Trump. He's going to give a lot of money to Donald Trump. Now think about it. Home Depot don't sell to just Republicans. They sell to everybody. That's a business. But that is his personal decision as far as his political standpoint. I still support Donald Trump. You understand what I'm saying? And that's beneficial to the billionaires that's beneficial to them. Because as we spoke before, Donald Trump, who claims to be a billionaire, on video, not just audio, it's on video where he says, a lot of y'all are rich as hell, and I want to make it even better for you. It's on video. It's not AI. It's definitely there. I'm going to make it better for you. Tax cuts and this, that, and the other. And they're cheering him on. So what does that tell you? It's all about the people with the money. It ain't about the people who are struggling. Man, I'm done for right now. But that told me something right there. Former President Donald Trump is for the rich. And he is the puppet. They move him around.
Mm-hmm.
They make him think.
A lot of people
and
don't
you guys
realize.
Don't believe me. Well, let me say this. Y'all don't have to believe me, but I'll tell you something. And I shared it with you, Janet. There's a documentary that I watched the other day of and this is through PBS, the show called Frontline. It's one of the most intriguing, most amazing documentaries I've ever seen. Because one thing I've always had, one thing I know, PBS is one of the most respected channels, which is public broadcasting services, one of the most respected channels for you to watch and get information. They just show you, you know, footage of real time of what people are saying, what they're talking about. If you watch it, you'll see Republican strategists saying, well, I didn't see this coming, but yeah, it's true. This is what Donald Trump said. This is what they did. Republican strategists. These are conservatives. What, you're going to tell me that all of a sudden, oh, well, those are rhinos, as now became a new, you know, saying. Republicans in name only. No. You hijacked the party. You hijacked the party and they're not happy because they believe in the Republican belief. I see Secret Squirrel, and I know they don't like me saying that because I think I know who this is, Janet. But I might be wrong. Here's a 1111111111 number, and they're waving their hand, and I'm going to open up their mic. Good evening. Happy Saturday to you, and welcome to TNGS. Question, comment, or better yet, introduce yourself.
Hello, my friends, Janet and Michael.
Oh,
how is everything with you?
Good.
Yes.
How are you?
All right.
Yes. I guess you know.
Mike, what's going on, my brother, in Singapore? Mike, yeah. In Singapore is on the line, y'all, okay? Go ahead, Mike.
Yes, sir. Everything, you know, you say, you know, is I'm trying to be neutral as possible, but, you know, you are absolutely right. I mean, this guy, he wants to come and overhaul Medicare for the seniors. I mean, he wants to come and pay just $600 for you, for the my mom, for your mom, etc. You know, and then they buy their own insurance with $600. You tell me, how can a person buy a $600 insurance? It's what? It's probably the most crappiest in the world. I mean, the good insurance, it will cost probably over $2,000-$3,000. And how the person has to come and pay the difference in this crappy economy, in this time that the person has worked all his or her life and now has to go work two more shifts in order to buy her insurance or his insurance. What the are these people are full of donkey in their head, donkey brain, or what?
Well, the insurance, you know, everything is, well, the insurance company, all the major companies are busy trying to raise the prices on your food, your medicine, everything. Insurance is sky high. And they have all these commercials on TV saying, yeah, get life insurance. You know, all you got to do is pay $9.99. When you have a pre-existing condition, that goes out the water. I mean, out the window, not the water, the window. They won't give you insurance.
Yes, you know, and they want to remove Medicare from their Obama tried to give kind of bring closest as possible universal healthcare system. And he is coming and to dismantle universal healthcare system. I mean, United States will be into its own ashes if he does that. If he
comes
back and he does that, it will be end of America.
Well, you know, greed, and you know, and they always say money is the root of all evil. You know, because you get all the people that are higher up, like the CEOs and, you know, presidents of companies that get the more than six figures, they want big bonuses. You know, they it's not enough. You know, you get a taste of that, I guess, high living, and you want to continue. But then you got the ones down at the bottom struggling. And right now, the way things are, if Trump get back in, it's going to be have and have not. It's
okay,
not
so hold on a minute.
Good.
Go ahead and let everybody hold tight a minute. I'm going to chime in on this. I see that Sarge is here, actually. I see him in the chat room. He joined the conversation. I don't know if he's going to call in or not. So, Sarge, you're welcome to call in and share your point of view. Everything. You know, I've always give respect of it, but, you know, it's like, you know, let's stay on point and let's answer the questions. But the thing is that what you just said, I said just a moment ago, it's on video where Donald Trump said some of you people in this room are as rich as hell, and I'm going to keep making it better for you. It's not you or me. He don't say that to his whenever he's doing a rally. He don't say to the people that at the rally, some of you folks here at the rally are rich as hell because I, you know, done this on taxes and this and the other. No, you didn't do it for the American people. You did it for the American individuals who are billionaires. That's what you did. Like they say, call a spade a spade, tell the truth, tell the truth. That's what you did. And that's what you want to continue to do, you know. And
absolutely,
and, you know, that just bothers me because look at, and I think it was in one day, he did a rally where he went to a black area. I'm sorry, he went to an event. He spoke to a bunch of black conservatives and tried to make himself be like equal to what happened to black people, you know, being wrongfully accused of crimes and, you know, and this and the other, like he's going through now. He's saying he's wrongfully accused. But then when he was at the other event, he used a white individual. Why not the same story? Why did you change it up? Among the white folks, you said a white person, and then you compared yourself to Martin Luther King among the black people. Why did you do that? I'm trying to understand. Okay? Hand wave, and I do believe it is probably Sarge. And I'm going to open up your mic, Sarge, and you welcome to speak.
Can I say something? Can I say something before Sarge starts to?
Go ahead, Mike, you have the mic.
Yes.
Go ahead, Mike.
You know, George Bush said United States Constitution is goddamn piece of paper. And then in another place, he was sitting with many Republicans. The lady, she was 72 years old, said to George Bush, he says, I cannot afford right now my rent, my food, my et cetera. And then, but I have two jobs working right now. And then he laughed at her and said, oh, that's good. At least you have two jobs, because many people don't have even one job. So that was his response to this lady.
Okay.
And it's the same thing when Donald Trump came and said, we need to change U.S. Constitution. I mean, U.S. Constitution, by no means, no one can be changed. Any wording, any sentence of the U.S. Constitution.
Right.
And also, right. he said that if I come if I win the elections with the help of AI or not the help of AI or whatever happens, I win, I will be the Mussolini. I will be like Ayatollah on the first day. So we have Ayatollah, Donald Trump.
Right. That's okay, so let me do this, Mike. Let me open up this microphone that because they've been waving their hand. They've been on the board for a moment.
Sure.
I'm going to open up their mic. Also, in the chat room, I see a person who's joined the conversation named Flycatch. Flycatch, you're welcome to post your questions or comments, or you can call into the show. You know, that's how we operate here, okay? So I'm opening up the 1111111111111 number, and welcome to the show. Who's calling?
Good evening to Michael J. and all the rest of the panelists and participants.
Hey,
how are you, sir?
Hi, sir.
How are you?
It's Saturday.
Now, Mike, you know, I got to share a source of bemusement of mine with you, if you don't mind. You know, I never fail to be amused by the argument decrying inflationary pressures caused by things like and tax cuts to the wealthy and all this sort of thing. And frequently, folks, they say things like that, almost never note the cause, the admitted, undoubted, factual, on the record, actual cause of most of the inflation, and that is the government in the form of tax increases, minimum wage pay, wage pay hikes, what they call modern monetary theory, where they do, you know, the monetary easing by printing tons of money, bond schemes. They never mention that. That is always the biggest source of inflation, and that seems to be invulnerable from criticism. Can't criticize that. Oh, but those greedy corporations. And I'd just like you to know, in any economic system where you don't have trust, and I will admit, antitrust legislation, if it's done properly, is a good thing. But if you don't have trust, and you have genuine, let me finish, Mike. I'm almost there. I have one more thing to say, and then if you mind, then you can have a coherent response to what I have to say, because you understand it's like finish. If you have the corporations
the
and you don't have,
brother,
you have.
The mic is yours. Go ahead. The mic is yours.
All right. You have genuine competition between businesses, and the government has to step in and try to pick winners and losers, and you have businesses trying to please their customers by providing a good or service that is of good quality and good value, then guess what? That is a deflationary pressure, never an inflationary one. But people always want to get on the corporations because they're forced to make some kind of compromise usually based on some idiotic government policy.
Mm. So you're done? Okay, so let me speak on that.
What?
Corporations, companies, right. Okay, I'll listen to what you're saying. Keep in mind, I work for a corporation. Okay? And actually, they're almost private, but thing is that where the prices of groceries going up is astonishing. It's amazing. But I see how much food is thrown away every day, product that is destroyed and thrown away every fucking day. Yes, I cuss. Every day in this one location, I'm looking at this shit. Yeah, it pisses me off. Pisses me off when I see people walking down the street hungry, asking, you got a few dollars and everything. And here they're standing in front of a damn grocery store that's throwing away food. It ain't spoils. It's just out of date. Someone could cook it for them and give it to them. It ain't spoils. It's just out of date. That's what pissed the fuck me off.
Mm-hmm.
I see folks with kids hungry as hell, and we're throwing away food. We're throwing away food? Really? Because it's only, what, a day or two away from expiration? Which you know as well as I do, Sarge. That food ain't bad. How come we don't have programs? How come we don't allow programs to come and get this food, cook it, serve it to the homeless? Oh, well, now, you're going to make it easy for them to be homeless. I'm still talking.
May I respond to that? Please, I have an answer.
Hold on. I just said I'm still talking. Now, if you don't want to wait, I will mute you.
No, I thought you were waiting for an answer. I mean, I always have an answer. Just remember that.
That's how come I have to mute folks, because they're not letting me finish what I'm saying. We have almost an hour left for you to respond. I'm asking you to listen to what the fuck I'm saying.
Oh, golly.
I'm sorry. I normally don't cuss. But the thing is that where, you know, I'm just responding. I'm telling you what I see every day. There has to be a better way of handling the situation of the homeless and corporations. We were talking about corporations, I think, but I just told you. People out here starving. Kids are starving. And companies are writing off their losses. They're writing off their losses. Right? You're damn right they are. Well, hey, you know, we're insured. Okay. You're insured. Write it off. Still, again, it ain't right. It ain't right. You know, there should be another way of us looking at the homeless situation. You know, you got where people are putting people in the, or where they're saying, you know, you can't be here, you can't be there, this, that, and the other. They're removing folks. And I'm not trying to change the whole topic because you came in with what you have to say. I appreciate that. The thing is that where you hit me with something of where it made me think, wait a minute, are you seeing what I'm seeing? Are you seeing what I'm seeing every day? Apparently not. You know, when you talk about, when you said about corporations and everybody wants to jump on the corporations, hell, the cost of living is going up all the time. They started bringing up paychecks recently. companies I know for a fact that were only paying $8 an hour said, okay, well, we're going to go up to, you know, or the state said, well, you know, minimum wage is going to have to go up in some areas to $12 to $15 an hour. Well, what does the corporation or the fast food does? Well, we're going to go up on the prices of the food and make the food smaller. That's a response that you get, man. You want us to pay them more? We're going to give them less. Less quality. That's what I see every freaking day. They have a response to whatever happens. They really do. So to be honest, it's a stalemate. It's like playing chess. It's stalemate. Okay, well, you know, I'm going to go one up on your ass. And that's what they do. You wouldn't know that because you don't experience that. You don't see it. You're blind eyed. I see it every damn day, man. I ain't got a lot of you. I ain't got a lot of you. All mics are open right now. You're welcome to respond.
Can I answer yours, please, Brother Michael?
Go ahead. Mike in Singapore. Go ahead. You can respond.
Yes. You know, absolutely you're right. Absolutely, I am with you. But, you know, still people can go to Food Bank Mobile in any city, in any, pretty much anywhere you live. And you can go, you know, they have different times. Say sometimes they have 9 o'clock in the morning, and you have to be there by 8 or 7:30. And they give you organic food. They give you organic foods and many goodies. And not only one location. Maybe there are 4 or 5 locations in the week, in the areas or next city, etc. People can go and make their own pantries, and they can, you know, it's a good way to overcome the inflation right now. And we have a report from inside United States that in Los Angeles, in Sacramento, in many big cities or small cities in United States of America, this is available. People just need not to be get shy. Oh, I am white.
Right.
I feel so much pride in my skin. I don't want to go over there and stay in the line. It doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, we have seen the Mercedes-Benz, BMWs in the line that are collecting those kind of items. So why not? If you don't go, the illegal Mexican who comes to the United States will go there and pick up the food. So which one you want?
Okay, hold on, Mike. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I appreciate you sharing that information, and that's great information. I do see that where, you know, there's someone who's calling in on the board, so I have to acknowledge them, right? Okay, so, and then also I see folks that are in the chat room. People in the chat room, if you have a question or comment, you can type it in the chat room. And I'll read it on the air. But 202-735, wave their hand. So I'm going to open a fair mic and let them respond. 202-735, your mic is open. Introduce yourself, and what's your question or comment?
Reese on the radio.
Reese on the radio. Oh, what's up, Reese? I'm shocked, but thank you for calling in. Appreciate
you. Let me.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on, Reese. Hold on. I opened up your mic. Okay. So just, you know, give respect to the host of the show and my co-host. All right. But I'm gonna let you go ahead and speak. All right. I respect you.
I'm not sure exactly what that meant. You said introduce yourself and give your question or comment.
Well, go ahead. But go ahead, Reese. Your mic is open.
Thank you. Okay. As a former homeless kid for 3 years, The reason why people do not understand the problem with homelessness is because they're not asking the most important constituent, and that is the homeless. Everyone's fed up with homelessness. Everyone thinks homelessness is a problem, and there are people who wish to solve the problem, but they won't ask the people who are homeless. Why? Here's why. Because they don't think homeless people have ideas, because they're homeless. First, you have to know what they want, and then you can solve their problem. That there are two or three very key factors in homelessness. One factor is people who have no choice, meaning they have nowhere to live, they have nowhere to go. Some of them couch surf and go from place to place. Some live in the streets and they are comfortable with that. Those people are not reachable. You can't get them in housing. You can't get them on the grid. You will not. And the others is drug and alcohol abuse. If you start dealing with homeless as in one collective, like I say all the time, government and other people think that they see people as one whole collective. You know, they see black people as a whole, Latinos as a whole, Asian as a whole. They see homelessness as a whole, too. Every circumstance is different. You can't solve homelessness. You can solve the problem of a homeless person, but they are not a collective. No two problems are the same. So if you want to be able to solve it, deal with them individually. But that takes too long, so that's why people keep saying, how are we going to solve it? And they come up with a collective that never works. And homelessness persists because they keep treating them like a thing instead of people. I'm done.
Amen. Amen.
You know what? You know what? You know what? And for all you listeners, I've known Reese Hopkins for many years now through other networks. And we don't always agree on everything, but damn it, right there, I agree with him. I truly agree with him. You're right, Reese. Where I work at, I work for Walmart, y'all. And there's a woman who lives behind this Walmart in the woods. She comes in that store four or five times a day. And for years, I've seen her. Back when I used to work for Home Depot. Here's the crazy thing about it. Her family has money. And she chose to be in the woods homeless. She chose to do that. I found that out over the years. Good point, Reese. Very good point. You can't solve the homelessness as a whole. You have to deal with the individuals. I think, Sarge, you're here. You're on the board. Your mic is open. What's your thoughts? I mean, that's profound.
I have almost nothing to say. I have almost nothing to say that Brother Reese did not say with regard to the homeless problem. Having dealt with homeless people as a police officer off and on for 23 years. The cases are as individual as there are people that are homeless. And they all deserve, there's no one-size-fits-all solution to homelessness. And it seems to me as if the people who try to run this thing adopt a Marxist collective idea of how to fix it that will never, ever, ever work, not in a million thousand years. Now, with me, most of the homeless people I had to deal with were people who wanted to be there for whatever reason, because they were mentally ill, because they didn't want to go to a shelter, or simply because they were unable to adjust to life. The people who were there by dint of circumstance, something bad happened in their lives, they were never long-term homeless people. They might be homeless for a couple of months, like I was once upon a time. I had to live out of my car for 3 months. It was temporary. It wasn't permanent. I'm speaking here of the long-term homelessness, the ones that are the intractable problem we're constantly talking about. Those are the ones that the solutions are not amenable for unless you involuntarily incarcerate them has once was done, so then at least they don't contribute to public chaos. But because we've had a Supreme Court decision that negates all that, now we can't do it.
Okay. So let me do this. All right. I appreciate you sharing that. I'm going to go to back to Reese, and then I'm going to let Janet chime in. Reese, what's your response to what Sarge just said? Reese, you still there? Okay, Reese is not going to respond. Apparently, he might be on mute. I don't know. But anyway, Janet, what's your response to what Sarge said about the homeless?
I agree with what everybody said about the homelessness, about the food banks. I agree with all that. I was going to, those are some of the things that I was going to talk about, because a lot of the food that the food banks get is not expired. It is not expired. And they put meat and things like that in the freezer to keep it from, freezers to keep it from going bad. Bread, things that can be perishable, they put it in freezers. So the food that the people are getting is good. A lot of the food can last a month. You know,
absolutely.
Depending on your household, you know, and believe me, it's not. I even got food one time from a food bank, and it was real good food.
But with that being said, I just told you all where I work, and I see tons of food being destroyed. Hold on. Let me finish.
Why throw it away?
Okay, hold on. I see tons of food thrown away every week. You know why? Because some shopper didn't give a shit. They picked it up, and they said, you know, I really don't need this. But they drop it off over in the sporting goods department on the shelf. Why not just take it to the fucking cash register? Yes, I'm cuffing. I know I don't.
Well,
but when it comes to this,
I'm still speaking.
Let me finish what I'm saying. But no, I'm still speaking. I let everybody speak. Okay?
I opened up mics,
but I'm still talking, Janet. Let me finish my point.
Michael, stop. Bye.
Okay? Thank you. I'm looking at where people don't give a shit. They don't care. As you continue to not give a damn about the product that you pick up and leave on a shelf in a whole different department, guess what? That's called shrink. That's where the companies say, hey, look, we're throwing away this amount of food every week. We have to go up on the price. And guess who's going to pay for it? Your ass. Not them. You got to pay for it. You didn't do that. You didn't leave the food out there. Somebody else did. They don't give a damn. But what they don't understand is that the more they keep doing that, the price is going to keep going up. Okay, so let me finish. So that's where we need to start educating folks. Be more mindful of your actions when you shop. If you don't want the shit, take it up to the counter. Let them sort it out and put it back in the cooler where it stays fresh, where someone else can buy it, instead of throwing it on the shelf in a whole different area of the damn store. And people do that every day because they don't care. But they're not thinking. They're not thinking of the long-term effect it has when it comes to you shopping and how the cost will go up as long as you keep doing ignorant shit. I think Reese is still here. I don't know if he wants to respond. That's up to him.
Can I say something, my friend? You forget me, my friend.
Well, why ahead, Mike.
Yes, sir. You know, regarding, you know, self-checkout at the Walmart, people, they need to be careful, because this stupid AI that they have easily can trigger a special code. For example, if you scan some items and you think it was scanned, but you put it onto the bag next door to it, okay, but it wasn't scanned actually. Suddenly everything
right.
is frozen on the system. On the AI say, oh, you are stealing. So then suddenly a person comes from front and punching bunch of numbers, which they don't punch in a number, just they push, you know, pretend that. And then they say, okay, ma'am, come here. Let's go to the next island. We will take care of it. We will re-scan everything for
right.
you.
Right.
So that's another way that Walmart, I mean, AI, I mean, everything they know. They know your picture. You know your photos. They know from up,
right,
from
right.
down, from behind, from all angles. So actually,
with all due respect, Mike, you are on point on that, because, like I said, I see it. I mean, I'm privy to see what happens inside the offices of the individuals who are AP asset protection. I'm privy to go into there and look at the videos. I mean, they can read the freaking numbers on a dollar bill. Okay? They can look at that shit,
yeah.
You know. And now that's how come Walmart allegedly is going to start going back to removing self-checkouts, more of where, in fact, they have a system now called Scan and Go, where you can scan your items as you pick them up. Of course, I'm sorry, I'm outside, you guys, so if you hear the dog barking. So you can scan your items, and then when you get to the checkout, it just connected to the Scan and Go. Then you just, you know, just let the QR code go ahead and ring you up. You ain't got to scan each item at the checkout. You already scanned it when you picked it up as you were shopping. Only thing, you still have to put inside the damn bags, right? So that's another thing that they're looking at in many stores, not just Walmart. Many corporations,
of course,
stores.
Target stores.
Yeah, they're
many,
looking at that. Okay,
stores.
So let me finish. So now that's going to be interesting, because for the fact that, granted, self-checkout is not working for a lot of stores because, as you just said, people are not scanning the items. So then the person in the AP office is looking to see, they have phones, in fact, the employees have phones, and they can actually connect to that register that you're at and see exactly what you scanned or did not scan. They can do that.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Right? And,
yes.
And the thing is that where,
yes.
and by the way, it's not where, here's the thing, the only way, if you've ever been into a Walmart store, and they ask you, can I see your receipt? You really don't have to show your receipt unless there's some thought from the AP office that, hey, look, they didn't scan that item, and they have to show proof of that, okay? You really don't have to. And if they want to stop you, then what happens after that is up to you. As long as you know you did not, you know, do anything wrong. But like you said, sometimes some items may not scan, and you thought it scanned, and they're looking at this, and they're like, hey, they didn't scan that item. Some barcodes are not correct.
Right.
Okay, so with that being said, let me read this here. Flycatch is in the chat room. The Walmart in my hometown closed the 427, okay, self-checkout section. The reason being, is because of theft. Exactly. Thank you, Flycatch, for posting that. Many stores are getting rid of the self-checkout. It's better for the company, excuse me, you know, in a sense, to have an employee. And here's the thing, they need to hire employees, right? Y'all had some crazy experiences at Walmart and a lot of other food chain of where, you know, the personal customer service is not there. Self-checkout can be, you know, an issue.
Computers are not always correct. Wrongfully a person into a prison for nothing, you know, just for an honest mistake.
Exactly. And I agree with you. Sometimes folks will get a big thing of water and put on the bottom of the shopping cart and forget to scan it. I've seen that many a times. And they'd be like, oh, I forgot I got water. You know, a legitimate mistake. You're right, Mike. You're right. All right, so
it doesn't worth it. For that reason, you should wait and use the regular cashier. So because if the cashier make a mistake and did not rank your water, then the fault is not yours. The fault is on your stupid cashier that you hire for $7.75. That's why. You know, and then at least it waves. You're right there, Wave.
No, you're definitely right. You're definitely right. Okay. Let me see here. I'm looking at the board right now. Okay, so I got mics open if you guys want to respond to what was speaking on, your thought process on that.
Yeah, I'd like to say something about the being stopped. If, you know, you don't have to show your receipt. And that is true because just about every state allows a merchant to detain a shopper if they suspect them of shoplifting, and usually the criteria is laid out in the law as to what that criteria is. And but one thing, but look, and whenever they ask me for my receipt, I say, no, I don't want to show it. I walk out because I know I don't have to because I haven't shoplifted. I got a receipt that I paid for. If they think I've shoplifted something, they can stop and detain me and check me out. That's what they're going to have to do because I'm not going to do it voluntarily. I know I didn't steal anything. And I don't have to stop for it if I don't want to. Now, if they're going to detain me, I am going to stop. And I'm saying, you detained me because you suspect maybe. I'm going to ask them, are you detaining me because you think I'm guilty of retail theft or shoplifting? I'm going to ask them. Just flat out ask them. And I say, I haven't shoplifted anything. And now, can I go? And they say, I go. Well, we just got to go and see where that all leads. That's all I got to say.
Cool, my friend. Costco, you have to show your receipt all the time.
You know, we don't change topics. You know, left and right. We don't went from from one thing to the other. But I appreciate you guys calling in and sharing your thoughts and everything. As we do change from one thing to another, because I'm hearing the opinions about certain things, like you said about with the Walmarts and everything. We were talking about food. You know, and how much food is thrown away and this, that, and the other. But I do appreciate the fact that we can keep going and kind of like look at other concerns that apparently we all have. And that we see, you know. So, Mike in Singapore, I'm going to let you go ahead and just shortly share what you're about to say.
Oh, no. I was just saying that Costco, regardless of you challenge them or not at the end, you know, Costco in Singapore, you know, we go out as soon as before we get out of the Costco, they give us, you know, they simply check to see how many items we have, how many items is on the receipt. I mean, but we do it, you know, we comply because in Singapore, you know, we don't like really kind of dramas like happening in United States. For example, Sarge saying that, I'm not going to show it to you, and et cetera. If they want to show it, finish it up, and get the hell out of there, you know. But why try to be challenging them? Because we are trained.
You know
here,
what? You know what? You got a good point there,
obey.
Mike. You got a good point there. Because, see, you know what? If I'm in a store and I'm shopping, I like what Mike just said. If I'm going out the store and they got somebody standing there and say, can I see your receipt? It's only a couple of seconds. So what? You know, take a look at it. I paid for this shit. I'm not thinking in my mind, you're assuming I stole something.
Right.
See what I'm saying? I'm not thinking that. I'm thinking where they're just checking because I might have misscanned something, as we just said. You know, I just said sometimes people put a 24 case of water on the bottom of their shopping cart and forget to scan it. And it might be a reminder that, hey, look, you know, you forgot about that. Oh, my apologies and everything. I'm not going to jail. But I get it.
Absolutely.
I get it. It's okay with me. As a black man.
Yeah, but Mike, I'm not going to object.
Hold on. I'm still speaking. When I'm speaking, please, sir, let me finish and then I'll let you speak.
Well, I thought there was an interregnum.
I'm saying is that where, see, I don't get offended when I'm asked for my receipt. I really don't. I know me. I know I ain't sold shit. And once they see that where, and if I did misscan the pack of water, I'll be like, oh, you know what? I'm in a rush. I had it underneath there. I didn't think about that. But okay, I'll go ahead and pay for it. End of story. Apparently, you see my receipt and see I paid for every damn thing else. So why the hell would I want to steal a pack of water when I paid for every damn thing else in my car? Like Mike just said, sometimes you know there's just a miss, you know, something that you miss, nothing intentional, no theft intended. Go ahead, Sarge. You were about to speak.
Yeah, look, if they can articulate for me a good reason as to why they should stop me, I'm not going to object. If they have a good reason for it, they should stop me. I'm saying they ought to have a good reason. That's what I'm saying. And if they have it and they articulate it to me, I'm not going to raise a beep about it. I promise you. I understand that being a police officer, sometimes you're wrong about things for which you have a good reason to be wrong. So I don't have a problem with it. I'm just asking, why are you stopping me? I paid for this stuff. I know I haven't done anything wrong. I like to know why I'm being detained.
But just like
I hope you don't think that in my case I'm as outraged. I'm not outraged by it. It doesn't outrage me. I just know I don't have to stop and I don't have to show a receipt unless they detain me because they think I'm shoplifting.
Sarge, but the thing is this, okay? Mike just brought up a good thing. It might have been a misscan. It didn't go through well. You know, computers are not perfect, right? Okay, scanning is not perfect. But the thing is that we're, as we just said, and as I just said, I don't have a problem with it because, hold on, let me freaking finish what I'm saying. I get it. Because look at stores of different companies that are shutting down due to shoplifting. So they put in place a lot of things. Just last week or so, they just put in some more. Why should you have to install at many locations security cages for items that you would not even think people would steal, but they're stealing it? Underwear? Really? You gotta put underwear in a damn case? Are you kidding me? Fruit of the Looms? You gotta lock up all kinds of makeup and everything? Well, yeah, I can see that. And see, what happens is this, as you all know, when they invest into these security systems, guess who pays for it? Your ass. Because they have to buy the security systems. I'm just saying. I don't have a problem showing my receipt when I walk out the door because the thing is that where I'm not trying to run out the door with any product allegedly stolen and everything. As I'm walking out the door with my product in the bag and they say, can I see your receipt? And I show them the receipt and they say, okay. Thank you. Have a good evening. I'm moving on. But if they say, I don't see this item on there, and I'm like, oh, okay. My apologies. I'll go pay for it. Common sense should tell you, at least with them, that you know I didn't come in here and spend $70 and steal a $7 item. I'll go pay for it. I got a credit card. I must have missed the scan. No problem. And I doubt you will have an issue with any store of you having, as Mike said, of where there was something that was missed. It happens.
I think now you can see the problem with reparative justice now, don't you? Most of the problems that you're addressing now that are necessary is to a large extent has been exacerbated by this George Floyd post-drama situation of not enforcing laws.
Okay, so hold on. I'm trying to stay on point here because we only have about maybe 15 minutes left. We can talk about that later on. I want to finish up on this. Now, there would be an issue if I had a shopping cart of like $200 worth of merchandise and $20 worth of it. Now, that's a problem. And I've seen that happen where people only scan $20 worth of merchandise, but they got damn near $100 worth of stuff in their cart or more. Now, at that point, yeah, you're stealing. You're attempting to steal. That's no. Your ass is in trouble. Okay? So I just want to say that, you know, before Sarge was going to say what he's got to say. Sarge, your mic is open. Okay, I guess he doesn't want to respond. Yeah, because there's the difference.
Yeah, Mike, here's what I'm saying. You just spoke to shrinkage. Stores factor in a normal amount of shrinkage, even amount of shrinkage from misscanning. They account for that. That is factored in. What we are talking about now that's causing these inordinate security measures of what you are now speaking has been triggered by this fantastic amount of lawlessness in places that refuse to enforce the laws against retail theft, shoplifting. That's what it is, and you know it.
Okay, so I'm gonna entertain that. So shoplifting happens at almost every store. Would you agree with that?
Not like it's going on now. No, nothing like what's going on now in these big cities. Nothing like this has ever happened before. No, I don't agree with that at all.
Okay. But, no, I ask the question. Shoplifting is happening at almost every store. Almost. Keyword is almost every store. Okay? And it doesn't matter about if it's inner city and everything. Hell, I mean, there's folks that live in the rich communities. There's individuals who have money in their pockets and steal. Not trying to
again,
make it,
I am
steal because they want to see if they can get away with it. They do.
Stores
that,
have always factored shoplifting into their equations. What we're looking at now is unprecedented. And
No. Here's the thing. See, what you fail to understand, I know retail because I've worked in it for many years. All right? I've been a manager. I actually own my own store. I know. Well, you have to look at, you know, shoplifting is going to be something that's going to you have to deal with. And right, you're right. You know, they factored that in. But when it gets to the point that is much higher than what you anticipated, you have to look at it where, wait a minute, it doesn't matter how much insurance you have on the product and this, that, and the other. It's way beyond. We are not making a profit now. Right now, we got so much shoplifting going on. We're not even, you know, we're nowhere near a profit. when they decide to go ahead and which every year every store every company does where they you know where they go ahead and do a thing where checking out their inventory, right? You bring in a company that counts everything in the store, everything. And when your store and they know that, you know what, we're going to have some losses. We're going to lose maybe a half a million, maybe $1 million. But we accept, look at that store having that type of loss. Because in a year's time, yeah, you're going to have a lot of shoplifting. It can get up to $1 million. But we're okay with $1 million. But when that shit gets up to $4 or $5 million, no, that's not acceptable at all. Like you just said, Sarge, they know. They know. And they're praying and hoping it's within that dollar amount. They already figured, yeah, we probably lost that. But when it's way beyond that, oh, hell no. Something got to change. That's with any business. Yes, you have to factor in shrink. And you factor in shrink based on a dollar amount. We probably can handle $1 million. Okay. When it comes to $2, $3, $4, $5 million that you lost, something you ain't doing right. Something ain't right. Mike in Singapore, you have a final comment on this. And then we're going to get out of here in another about 12 minutes.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Very great shows, as always. As always, indeed. You know, in Singapore, one of the safest city in the world, because first of all, if somebody wants to have a gun, for example, they has to go through a lot of loopholes and to get one. And yet, if for example, I have a gun in Singapore, okay, and I'm not registered, okay, they can execute me. After the due process of the law. So that's why Singapore is one of the biggest city in the world that is safe and sound. I mean, we have some little pockets in the Chinese gangs, etc. Yes, I have to admit that. But except that, 95% of Singapore is in. Very quiet, safest city. You can go 4 o'clock in the morning for a walk and nobody touches you, nobody look at you badly, nobody look at you left, et cetera, you know. Singapore. You know, we have American people here, citizens working here. We have from all over the world people come here and work because they have some kind of, you know, expertise. Like, for example, you are a manager of the XYZ Walmart. And so, you know, for example, they want a manager. They hire you there with a good money, for example. So you stay there. And they give you your passport after 3 years, between 3 years to five years,
I want to on this topic because we did switch over quite a bit. No disrespect, I apologize. I want to try to stay within what we initially started the show with, but it seems like we veered off into something else. But I like the fact that the things that we came up with just recently is a concern of everybody on the board, and everybody has something to share about it, because, for me, as I said, I do this, you know, because of the fact that I love to hear people's response. If it veers off for a moment, cool, but I want to stay back on track and everything and hear everybody's point of view. But seeing that we veered off into this whole thing, let's get back to the whole thing. Hold on. We got 10 minutes.
Sure.
We have 10 minutes. We have 10 minutes. I'm still talking. When I'm talking, let me speak. And then I'm going to let you speak, okay? I am the host of the show. Let's look at this. We were talking about the whole thing about, you know, the homeless thing, and that's where we got into food and the disposal of food and the waste of food and everything. Janet had said early on of where there's food banks and everything. So I get that, but I'm witnessing every day just in one location tons of food that is not spoiled being thrown away. There should be an answer to that. And like another person says that another person said to them, a lot of this shit has to be made up in the lab, because there's how in the world you can create this much food for the American public if it's not genetically made. That's another topic we'll get to next week. I will definitely talk about that. Because, I mean, when you look at it, when you look at the disposal of food, at least when I look at it, I'm like, wait a minute, just this location alone? Let me do the math here. Let me, you know, do the math of every grocery store.
He's very, very friendly. Come on, Logie. Come here. Logie. Hey, Logie. Come here. Come here, stupid. All right.
But when you look at it, you know, of the disposal of things that we eat every day, you know, and just the fact that you look at the numbers of people, there's got to be something more to this. Got to be. And I want us to
come out. Would you be stupid? What are you, stupid?
Yeah. Are you talking to your dog?
Oh, I'm sorry. I got the mic.
I just put you on mute until you finish talking to the dog. Okay. Hey, I want to thank each and every one of you. We have like 7 minutes left. And I'm going to go ahead and let you guys finish out quickly, 1 minute, your final comments on the topics. I'm going to go with Mike in Singapore, and I'm going to let Stars close it out with his final comments. And Reese is still there, I'm going to let Reese chime in. I see he's still on the board, but go ahead, Mike. 1 minute. Please,
okay,
sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you very much. You know, anyway, bottom line, we show our respect at any time if they wish to ask for it, because once you are in XYZ, you know, market, basically you are belong to them. And if you're shopping and you pay and you go, you know, if somebody wants to ask you, we don't hear say, oh, because I'm American citizen from United States of America, and now they're picking up on Americans here in Singapore. No, we say, okay, sir, ma'am, no problem. We show the receipt, and we don't make a big deal out of it, and, you know, we move forward. Because if we want to do it like this, then it will become anarchism, and basically, in Singapore, it's not allowed like that, you know. And then you cannot live in Singapore, you know. There is a law here, and you have to obey it. Obey, or you will have a problem like that guy from who did, you know, scratching cars or putting paint on the cars. He was able, nobody ever able to help him, and he got 80 lashes in front of people. So that's Singapore law. So if you come to Singapore, better to obey the law or you will have a lot of problems. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate you calling in. Hey, look, definitely appreciate you. Okay, so let me go to Sarge. First, I want to confirm if Reese is still here, if he wants to chime in. But, Sarge, go ahead.
Okay, thank you, sir. And I'll wrap it up by saying what I led off the show with, and that is that the current cause, as far as I'm concerned, of our immediate economic problem is inflation. Inflation is caused mainly, the biggest single factor for that increase is governmental policy at the federal, state, and local level. That is where we need to focus on our biggest complaints. And second of all, what is going on with this shoplifting and retail theft is not shoplifting. It's more akin to sacking, like what the Visigoths, the Franks, and the Vandals did to Rome. And if we don't get a handle on it, there will be food deserts all over the inner city. And it will be self-imposed.
Okay, you said the inner city. So you're saying that shoplifting is only happening in the inner city. Is that what you're telling me?
The sacking is mainly confined. I'm not talking about shoplifting. I use certain term I use, and I meant it as it is meant to be understood. Sacking. We are looking at sacking of these stores. That's why they're closing down. There's an element of danger to this, to customers and employees. And that is another reason why they're shutting down these places in inner cities.
Okay, that's an interesting point. You know, and you're right. You're right. There's a lot of stuff that's happening, but I haven't heard much about murders, more so.
I have. You want me to tell you about them? I have.
There's been a few. There's been a few. But the thing is that when you look
more
at
than just a few.
That's another. Okay, no, there's been a few, but hold on. I'm still speaking. Granted, there's been a few. But there's been more lives taken in our schools than our grocery stores. There's more lives being taken at our schools, okay, than our grocery stores. And I can tell you this. How I know is because I had to go to a store that had a shooting at that store the next morning and help put that store back together when there was an incident between a couple, you know, at that time, and the guy was upset and this, that, and the other. But we'll have to get into that conversation a little bit more on another show because we're running out of time. But I want to thank each and every one of y'all for tuning in. Thank you so much. I appreciate your support of the TMGS. We'll be back next Saturday as usual. Same back time, same back channel. Okay? And we got to get out of here. We only got 60 seconds. Okay?
Bye-bye.
All right? All right. God bless you guys. Take care. Thank you so much. We'll see you next Saturday here on the TMGS. Good night, y'all. Have a great remainder of your weekend.